Welcome to the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur Podcast. My name is Jen Kleiber, owner of the educational consulting company, The Responsive Classroom, creator of the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur, and your host as we journey through this business-building life together. Our mission at the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur is to equip online business owners to step fully into God's purpose for their lives and business with unwavering faith, biblical truth, and essential marketing strategies. Our verse for this season of business is Ephesians 3:20. All glory to God, who is able, through Christ at work within us, to do infinitely more than we might ask or think. Friends, if you're needing inspiration, feeling stuck and unsure of next steps, feeling worn down by trying to tackle everything on your own, or feeling like you are constantly on a hamster wheel producing content but not getting the conversions you want, this podcast is for you. A little business and a lot of Jesus. Welcome to the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur Podcast, friends. Let's dive in. Hi, friends, and welcome to the fourth episode in our Why We Need It and How We Read It series. In this episode, as promised, we're going to talk about the how we read it part. I mean, let's face it, the Bible is a very big book and can be a challenge to navigate without any guidance. Now, I'm going to give you some tips, but I do want to be clear on what the Bible says about this. In 1 John 2:27, it says, "But you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach what is true. For the Holy Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what He teaches is true. It's not a lie." And then in Psalm 119, verse 130, it says, "The teaching of your word gives light, so even the simple can understand." So, y'all, although we are to study and we are to meditate the scriptures, and it's good to seek guidance from those who have spent more time studying the scriptures, if we have trusted Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, and therefore we have everything we need to dive into the scriptures ourselves. I absolutely believe that Satan uses our doubt in ourselves to limit our time in the Word, and that absolutely cannot happen. Now, as I said in the other episodes, I know that relying so heavily on the Word may be a scary thought to you, especially if you haven't been taught or shown how to read the Bible, but you are not alone. In fact, I would say that you're in the same boat with the majority of Christ followers. We've got to change that. So right now, you can head to www.thefaithfilledentrepreneur.com and download the strategies for reading the Bible. It's free, right? Or head to the show notes or to the social media post or email where you saw this episode, and it'll be there for you as well. And as always, I want to thank you for downloading and sharing these episodes. This Bible literacy series is for everyone, not just entrepreneurs. So please share with any of your friends who are wanting to dive deeper into the Word. The focus of the podcast for this season is going to be on going deeper in faith. So let's get the Word out there. So before we dive into the strategies, let's dissect the physical structure of the Bible for a second. The Bible is divided into two main parts, as most of us know, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is broken down into four main parts. The first part is the Torah. This is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These five books were written perhaps as long ago as 3,400 years ago. Traditionally, they are attributed to Moses. These five books are sometimes called the Law Books. They contain stories of our origins, the patriarchs of our faith, Israel's escape from slavery, and their journey to the Promised Land. It also contains a lot of guidelines for living in response to God's love, living in obedience, walking in faith, raising your family in faith to have generations who love God and walk in obedience. Y'all, there are so many great stories here. We learn about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Moses and Joseph, the coat of many colors, Jacob, Esau, Noah, so many more. These are a lot of the stories that we heard in isolation growing up, but when you read these stories in order, it brings so much more understanding into the journey and the lineage and the connection that all of these stories and all of these people have together. Okay, next is the history books. This is Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. This section includes the stories of Israel's conquest of the Promised Land, their growth as a nation, their exile, their return from exile. If you are in the Content and Kingdom membership, you can probably tell that this is one of my personal favorite sections of the Bible. This is not boring history, y'all. These are incredible stories of how God shows his love and his power and his forgiveness and his grace through people who have a boldness and faith and a fear of him. And these are stories of people that God uses in really mighty ways, despite who these people are, and definitely people that I want to mimic my life around, right? Okay, third, you have the poetry and wisdom books. This is Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. These books are sometimes called the books of writings, or the books of poetry, or the books of wisdom. So you can hear it several different ways. These books contain hymns of personal struggles and national pride and lessons about suffering and finding meaning in everyday life, friendship, parenting, getting advice, taking advice, love, so many pieces of life that we go through today is written about in these books. Okay, next you have the prophetic books. This is Jeremiah, Lamentations, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. If you grew up about the time I did, you probably had the Old Testament song going through your head right then. These prophets reveal God's message, and this is a message of hope and forgiveness and justice. These books teach us how to treat one another. They teach us how to remain faithful to God. You might have heard the terms major and minor prophets, but this just refers to the length of the books and not any other distinction among the writers. I know that this section can get a little heavy, but again, when you understand the historical context of what is happening, it just brings so much more clarity than just randomly opening up Nahum and trying to read a few verses with no context, right? Okay, so then we move to the New Testament. This is obviously after Jesus was born. So we start with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the four accounts of the birth, life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Christ. All of Christ's words are going to be found in these Gospels, which we just cannot get enough of. He teaches so much about eternal life, also about how to have abundant life here on earth. The second section is the history section. This is typically just Acts. This is the history of the church. Big C Church, the introduction of the Holy Spirit. So we knew it was coming in the Gospels because Jesus tells us that the Advocate's going to come, but we actually see this happen in Acts. We see a lot of Paul's journey, which then makes his letters that he writes on this journey, and this makes up most of the New Testament. So it makes these letters make a lot more sense when you understand more about the journey that he was on. Okay, the third section, and this is the largest section of the New Testament, and this is the epistles. And epistles is another word for letters. So as I said, this makes up the largest part of the New Testament. These epistles are divided into two categories, the Pauline letters, which are written by Paul, and the apostolic letters. All of the letters follow the format of letter writing in the ancient world, in the time of that day. Each letter begins with a greeting and an identification of who's sending it and who the letter is being written to. This is typically followed by a prayer, usually in Thanksgiving. And then the body of the letter is teaching us about how to live as Christians. And it's usually in response to situations that are happening within the church that Paul's writing to. Now, when you read it in that context, you're going to see so many connections between current issues that we're having in the church today, in the world today, and how Paul addresses those is still so relevant, right? Okay. And then lastly, we have John's letters in the book of Revelation. Now, biblical scholars have concluded that the Gospel of John and the letters of John were written by the same author. And then the last book that we have is Revelation. Now, Revelation is no doubt the most confusing book of the Bible. This is an example of apocalyptic literature, which was popular during that time. This literary form included a lot of symbolic numbers, colors, animals, and cosmic images. And all of these devices and their meanings would have been familiar to the original audience, but they have caused us a lot of confusion since then. Hopefully that breakdown of the structure of the Bible is helpful. Okay, so now as promised, let's dive into a few strategies. Now these strategies are not exhaustive, okay? There are a ton of strategies that you can use, but here are just a few of my favorite. So I'm going to give you seven. I'm going to read through them, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about each one. The first one, hands down, number one, before you do anything else, we have got to ask the Holy Spirit to teach us what it is we are to learn from that time in the scripture. Number two, get a study Bible. Number three, if you have a Bible that has introductions to each book, read those introductions. This is going to give you the context of the author, and it's going to give you the setting, right? The time and place that this book was written in. Number four, read the book of the Bible from start to finish. And then look at the whole chapter and the whole section, read the subtitles, as opposed to just pulling out individual verses, right? So if you take a book like Esther, read it start to finish. Don't just pull out the verse, you know, for such a time as this. That's a great verse. But go in and look at the whole book, the whole story surrounding why Mordecai said that to Esther in that moment. Okay, number five. Answer these questions as you read, and I'm going to give you five questions. Who is the author? Who was he writing to? What was the historical situation? How is this scripture applicable today? What is the truth that is found in that scripture? Remember, truth is truth. And then how will you change your thoughts and actions based on what you read? Okay, so that's number five. Number six, write out scripture as a letter from you to God, or substitute your name for Christians. And I'm going to give you an example of that. And then number seven, use a commentary as a resource. Okay, so let's take a look at each of these. First one, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. 1 John 2:27, I'm going to read it again. It says, but you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach what is true. For the Holy Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. John 14:26, and this is Jesus talking. He says, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. And then 1 Corinthians 2:9-10 says, that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows God's deepest secrets. We've got to tap into this, y'all. A simple but powerful prayer before you open scripture is, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, please guide me, teach me, and open my heart and mind to what you would have me know. In Jesus' name. Okay, number two, get a study Bible. I would be absolutely lost without mine. The commentary in it, the context, the timelines, the connection between the books, the author spotlights, the connecting texts. There is so much that a study Bible has to offer. It is so worth the investment. I bought a journaling Bible when my husband and I got married for us to have at our wedding so people could go in and find their favorite verse and sign it. We never use that Bible because we both use our study Bibles. In fact, I got that Bible out and I was looking at it. I use it sometimes for a different translation, but I feel kind of lost without having the context that comes with having a study Bible. So I highly recommend getting a study Bible. Okay, number three, if your Bible has introductions to each book, read them, right? In most of the books, this is going to give you that context that you need. And when you understand, you know, where Paul is and who he's writing to and why he's writing to them at that time, it makes all of the advice that he gives in that letter make so much more sense. Number four, read the book from start to finish. So oftentimes, if there's a verse that I see maybe on social media that really jumps out at me, or if my pastor quotes some verses on Sunday for his message, that may start my study of that book for the week, right? So if he quotes a scripture out of Isaiah that really draws me in, I may, for that week or month, really, that may jumpstart my study of Isaiah. Individual verses, memorization is crucial. We want to memorize individual verses, but we want to know in the back of our mind what the context of those verses is. And so I really want to encourage you to read the entire book of the Bible. I'm not saying that you have to read the whole Bible start to finish in the order that the books come, but don't just pull out individual verses. Get in the habit of reading an entire book. Okay, number five, I'm going to read these questions again. Answer these questions as you read. Who is the author? Who was he writing to? What was the historical situation? This past year, as I have been, you know, really continuing to dive into the Bible, into my own Bible study, I have been amazed, y'all, amazed at how many similarities there are in the culture, in the sin, in the church, in the issues that people faced, and in what our world is going through now. And it has almost been, I know this sounds weird, but it's almost been an encouragement to me, because I feel like so many of the things that we're going through right now, I haven't seen in my lifetime, but God is not surprised. And he's already laid out how to deal with so much of the stuff that's going on, because it already happened, right? And for example, Paul probably already talked to it, because the issues that we're seeing today were in the early church as well, right? And the issues that we're seeing in the world today were issues that were in the world back then. And Paul spoke to the Christians about how to deal with it, how to conduct themselves, how to operate in love. So I want to encourage you to understand the historical context of that, because it's actually going to make it more applicable today. And then that's the fourth question. How is this scripture applicable today, right? And this is where, as Christians, we've got to dive in and say, this biblical truth is still a biblical truth today. So what does that mean, right? What does that mean for how I respond to people, how I talk to people, what I do? And then that leads us to the fifth question in number five in this fifth strategy, which is, how will you change your thoughts and actions based on what you read? One of the major points of the word, why we are given the word, is ultimately obedience. And so if we not only look at the application for today, if we don't say, okay, so how does this change me? Then we're missing out on a big point of why God gave us the word. And we're also going to be missing out on the blessings that come from being obedient to the word. Now, there are so many awesome questions that can get you started, but taking the time to get these five questions answered, if possible, is going to bring you a lot of clarity. Okay, strategy number six, write out scripture as a letter from you to God, or substitute your name for Christians. So I'm going to give you an example. Psalm 37, 3-7 are key verses for my business, and they are verses that I have leaned on since the very beginning. We revisit these often. We try to align everything to them. So I'm going to read these verses to you, okay? Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Now, these verses are powerful enough in and of themselves, but if I use this strategy, it may go something like this. I will trust in you and I will do good. Then I will live safely in the land and prosper. I will take delight in you and you will give me my heart's desires. I will commit everything I do to you. I will trust you and you will help me. You will make my innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of my cause will shine like the noonday sun. I will be still in your presence, and I will wait patiently for you to act. When we personalize it, right? When we pray scripture to God, powerful things happen, right? Powerful things in our own heart and mind, powerful things in the heavens happen. Jesus prayed scripture, he quoted scripture. And so I want to really encourage you to dig into that strategy. Okay, and then the last strategy that I want to give you is to get a commentary as a resource. Now, I know that this may seem like an advanced strategy, but it's actually not. It's kind of like getting the Cliff's Notes that we used in college. Do you remember those? That explained everything that was happening in the novel to you? Now, unlike what we did in college, or maybe it was just me, you cannot only read the commentary. But here are a few commentaries that I recommend that you can find online. One of them is at www.biblegateway.com, and the other one is at www.biblestudytools.com. And I'll put both of those links in the show notes. So these commentaries, again, are just going to give you all that background information as you're reading through a chapter or a book that's only going to bring you clarity as to what's going on, right? So again, there's a number of strategies, but here's seven to get you started. Do not get overwhelmed. Start with one or two. Start with the Holy Spirit. And I highly recommend you get a study Bible. If you got to start somewhere, you need to start there. But God is going to bless your obedience, friends. He's going to bless your obedience. So when you are obedient to asking the Holy Spirit to teach you, diving into his word, he's going to meet you there. He's going to meet you there. Again, you can pick up these strategies for free on the website at thefaithfilledentrepreneur.com, or you can head to the show notes and you can grab it there. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here through this series. Again, if you have not listened to the other ones, you need to listen to those because you need to have a really good understanding of why it is imperative. It is imperative. Our lives depend on it, that we are diving into the word regularly and consistently. We are in a battle. We are in a battle. And the word is one of our biggest weapons, if not the biggest weapons, because it teaches us how to use all of the other weapons that God gives us. And so I encourage you to go back and listen to those three episodes if you haven't already. So I just want to remind everyone that if you are a business owner or you are in the planning phases of being a business owner, follow us at Instagram at The Faith Filled Entrepreneur or on Facebook at jenkleiber.thefaithfilledentrepreneur to get business strategies, biblical truth for guidance and encouragement, and just to have a community that celebrates each other, networks with each other, and prays for each other. We're on TikTok now too. And you can always check out thefaithfilledentrepreneur.com to find out all that is going on and to get additional resources to help you build your faith and your business. Bye for now.